guest, Ashraf Patel, international relations expert, for a focus on obviously the Middle East and what has been happening there for a good couple of days now, and the latest actions taken by Spain. In the meantime, you've continued to engage with us via the WhatsApp line with your digits and what your maximum temperatures are, and your area, and also weighing in on the conversation. Now, the Spanish government has made the decision to recall its ambassador to apartheid Israel, as stated in the official State Gazette. The action taken on Wednesday follows Spain's position as one of the European Union's strongest opponents of Israel's genocide in Gaza, and also the fact that they've come out unequivocally stating that they are opposed to the illegal attacks against Iran, initiated by the U.S. and obviously the Zionist entity. So online, international relations expert and analyst, also strong focus on geopolitics, because we enjoy our conversation with him, Ashraf Patel. Ashraf, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Hope all is well.
All good, all good. Happy to have you back on the show. Always great to engage with you. Ashraf, a couple of things with respect to Spain. For the last couple of years, they have been very vociferous about the genocide in Gaza and speaking up for Palestinian rights. And if we just have to say this, this is not a Muslim country. And they literally, the stances that they've adopted, it essentially puts many of the Gulf nations to shame. But that's a different conversation. Second to none, when the United States and the Zionist entity attacked Iran illegally on Saturday, the 28th of Feb, they opposed these attacks, saying that they are not in agreement with it. And when the United States also wanted to use their bases to launch the attacks on Iran, they refused that also.
Yes, yes. You know, one can say that Spain, under the socialist and Pedro Sanchez, are one of the bright stars for justice in the world. Remember, Spain, alongside South Africa and Colombia, has actually been the founding member of the Hague Group that is trying to recalibrate international law. In a period since the Gaza genocide, international law has taken a dive and has been violated, especially by Israel and the USA. I think in context, this is again a consistent decision by the current government of Spain as a beacon, as a light to international law, to justice, as well as to prevent a war. I think Spain is one of those countries within the European Union that is also an outlier, but as Spain leads, different European states will follow, most probably Norway, Ireland, and others, hopefully, because of the gravitas of the situation. This time round, the Gulf War, or the attacks on Iran and the Straits of Hormuz, etc., directly also affects the price of oil and gas going into Europe.
So that is a problem that we've seen a couple of days into the United States and Israeli illegal attacks on Iran, that the price of gas just skyrocketed, I think within 2-3 days in Europe. We've also seen that the Americans, the consumers and the motorists are suffering quite a bit. They're looking at already an increase of, I think, 30% in their gasoline prices, and they are not happy. And the rhetoric coming from the Trump administration, it appears as if they're talking about some sort of gym membership, or you wanting to, you know, prepare for an upcoming season with a nice lean body, because they classify this as short-term pain for long-term gain.
Yes, yes. You know, I think all of this points to a decline of the U.S. model of what is called cowboy capitalism. Remember, the Trump administration has withdrawn from the UN climate change COP conference And that is the most important international treaty of the last 30 years. COP 30 in Brazil, the Belém Declaration has actually calculated scientifically that we are moving towards the 1% increase in temperature. And this is going to have significant impact on climate crises going forward. And therefore, this war is also a war on climate, because it's a lobby of oil and gas lobby, which is the Gulf States plus the US. Only they are benefiting from the current war, and especially the US. And I think Europe has now woken to the reality that this war was another stunt of Trump to try and push Europeans to buy more U.S. oil and gas. Typical Trump to make a profit on any crisis. But this time round, I think there's pushback, firmer pushback by the EU, not just Spain, but France and even Germany. None of them, even the UK, none of them have signaled any intention to join the U.S. in this conflict. So it shows, unlike the coalition of the willing, in Iraq, somewhat 20 years ago, this time round, it's just the US and Israel with support from the Gulf states. But even that is now in decline. So the Trump has really painted himself in a corner. He's increasingly isolated within the US and especially in the transatlantic alliance. And I think he's now realized he's made a massive blunder with the current attacks.
So as it stands, Ashraf, Europe will continue to bear the brunt, and gas is an absolute necessity in Europe right now. So with the Straits of Hormuz remaining closed, the Qataris have also shut down their LNG gas productions, and a lot of that should have been heading in the direction of Europe. The price of crude oil literally skirted with $120 US dollars per barrel about 48 hours ago. It's now hovering around 95, 98 US dollars per barrel, compared to us just before, the day before the illegal attacks on Iran. We were still broadcasting crude oil at 65, 67 US dollars. So it's a massive jump. And for as long as this continues and tensions continue to mount in West Asia, these conditions stand to become worse. And the irony of the U.S. administration actually labeling it as that, sort of like as a gym membership, it's very sarcastic. Temporary pain for long-term gain. We've already seen global markets are affected big time.
Yes, yes, it's very sad. I mean, just look at South Africa. We were getting our economy right. This government has worked so hard over the last year. Our dollar-rand ratio, we've done well there. On inflation, we've done well. And in 1 week, a country like South Africa's entire careful economic planning and modeling has been blown out of the water. It's quite tragic that, you know, these kind of leadership by Trump thinks nothing of the impact on the global South. And we are suffering. But there are some winners. So, for instance, African gas producers, especially Angola and Nigeria, stand to benefit temporarily. And they would fill in a lot of the gaps of the oil exports to Europe. And I think this is going to be a game changer for these African countries. But they also suffer from deep inequalities and lots of conflicts around oil and gas, like in the Niger Delta, for instance. And so the Venezuelan case was also a disaster, another disaster for Trump. Although they have now direct access to Venezuelan oil, as we all know, it's not good quality oil. It needs a lot of refinery capacity, and that's very expensive. So this kind of gung-ho capitalism is going to kind of push back. The world is now pushing back against the Trump model He's 1 year into his second presidency, and it has been an absolute disaster for allies as well as the global south. And I think only very few selected nations are benefiting. I would say even Israel does not benefit, because they are now also being isolated globally under the current Netanyahu government. There's a right-wing holier-than-thou ideology doesn't kind of fit with mainstream Europe, for instance, or the global south. So they are shifting patterns, and sadly, again, global south will suffer primarily because these kinds of incidences mean that Europe will spend more on defense and military expenditures, and that means there'll be less development aid, especially for Africa. So as Africans, we suffer and suffer continuously with these wars.
The Americans themselves also, Ashraf, going through a lot of difficulties. No healthcare available. I've just recently been in the country for a couple of days, and having gone back there 10 years later, it does appear, based on what I've seen in comparatively, that the United States is, in terms of infrastructure and expertise, appears to be stuck in the late 90s, maybe early 2000s for the latest, if I compare them to China and other countries. But in the last couple of days, the United States has probably spent more than $11.9 billion on all these attacks and supporting the Zionist regime in their illegal attacks on Iran. But where does the global community, Ashraf, where do we go from here? This principled stance from Spain, recalling its ambassador, not allowing the United States to launch attacks from their military bases on Iran, unequivocally stating that they are against the attacks on Iran. And in the same breath, for the last couple of years, they've been very vociferous about their support for Palestine and an end to the genocide. It's obviously angered Tel Aviv, and it has angered Washington, because these are of the few countries that have actually taken a principled stance.
Yes, yes. I think Pedro Sanchez will go down in history, alongside Colombia and South Africa, for taking the right decisions. I think the Hague Group as a movement is growing. It's about 25 countries. It's going to grow. And it will reshape international law and institutions for the better. Also, this kind of moves will also push core Europe not to assist the U.S. in this campaign any further. No one benefits in Europe, actually. Even the UK was so hesitant to even send one ship, for instance. And I don't think they're even going to do that. Because remember, Europe's number one focus is Ukraine. Mm. And for them, this is another distraction, because they still haven't resolved the Ukrainian war, which continues and intensifying as the days go by. So it's a multiple crisis. And I don't think, remember, Europe is not growing more than 1% a year on average. And they too have lots of challenges on competitiveness and innovation, and they need to spend there. Now they have to spend on arms. So they also in a mix. And therefore, China is the outlier. The best example, China has never been in a war for the last 80 years. They only deal in trade, investment, innovation, products and services for the world. And I think that is one of the best models. And it's called peaceful development. And I think that is the lesson for the U.S. While you're investing in wars and conflicts, they invest in innovation, research, product development, exports, infrastructure. And you look at today, about 500 million Chinese are in the middle class, and they're out of poverty. So I think the U.S. needs to be humble, very humble, and learn from the industrial and peaceful development pathway of China and certain other countries. But remember, imperialism knows no bounds and no rules. And this, they believe religiously that they are God's chosen people. And that is the challenge, to remove this religiosity from evangelical Christians and Zionists. Mm. I think that is the big challenge for progressives in the world today.
Very true. Ashraf Patel, geopolitical analyst. As always, great to have you on PM Drive.